Welcome, everyone. And we are about to present our spiritual reflection call for the month of January. The spiritual reflection calls are presented by our Federal Association chaplains. Today we will hear from Father Richard Mullins, who is a magistral chaplain in the Washington, D.C. area. He serves as pastor of St. Thomas the Apostle Church, and he is a member of the Oratorian community, which is a secular clergy community, or living in community life, of priests, altogether with priests and brothers. Good morning, Father Richard, and the floor is all yours.
Good morning, Fra Tom, and good morning, everyone. Firstly, a word of greeting. I'm very happy to be with you today. I cannot hear you, but you can hear me, and I miss my Malta family very much. I miss going to the events and seeing people and Lourdes and Green Bay and all of our different activities, large and small, that we get to see one another at. And so Fra Tom invited me to give the reflection for the month of January, and so I wanted to get as much of January in as I could liturgically, and so that means uniting three feasts that are very important that take place in the month of January. And the first is the Epiphany, and the second is the Baptism of the Lord, and the third is the wedding feast at Canaan, although not a feast on the liturgical calendar currently, but definitely an overarching theme. And it was Peter Chrysologus, St. Peter Chrysologus, who is called the Doctor of Short Homilies. And so if there is an issue in your parish with long homilies, you know who to turn to in prayer. But St. Peter Chrysologus was the one who theologically in the 3rd and 4th century united this idea of these three feasts being linked together, the Epiphany, the Baptism of the Lord, and the wedding feast at Cana. And indeed, on the old Latin, for those who follow the Latin antiphon for the Epiphany speaks of three gifts, not gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but the gift of the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles in the Epiphany, the beginning of his ministry in the Baptism of the Lord, and then his first sacrament at the wedding feast at Cana. And for those who, like myself, have a Hispanic background, I'm half Cuban, or a European background where you celebrate the Epiphany, you know what an important feast that is. Here in the U.S., it's sort of just kind of shunted to a Sunday, and not a lot of people pay attention to it, but in Latin America, in Spain, in Italy, in Poland, in Germany, and other places, it's celebrated with a lot of fanfare, and very often towns will have the three kings come in, and if they are especially good at production values, and the three kings come in on camels, and toys are imparted to children, and it is a great day of family and of celebration. The actual feast of the Epiphany is always celebrated on January 6th, but in this country, as I mentioned, it was moved to a Sunday, and so we celebrated it on January 2nd, and it's in that feast that we commemorate the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. So at Christmas, he's shown to the Jewish people, symbolized by the shepherds, and then at the Epiphany, the wise men really stand in place for all of us, the Magi, that Christ is shown to these three kings that come from different lands, showing his universal dominion. And we know that they brought their famous gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Two of the gifts we find in the psalm and in the psalms, and we find as well in the writings of the prophet Isaiah the gift of gold and of frankincense. Gold, of course, the tribute to a king, that if you needed to see the king, you brought gold if you could afford it. And that was a universal phenomenon of the ancient world. Here we funnel our contributions through political action committees. It's slightly less poetic than the gold, but I'm sure no less effective than in the ancient world. And so that gift of gold shows that Christ was our king. And the gift of frankincense was a very particular gift. Frankincense was something that was only offered in the temple. It was very rare. It was only obtained in what is now modern-day Somalia. And it was only offered in the Holy of Holies a couple days a year. And so it was a very rare gift, but it showed Christ as our high priest and his role as our Savior. And then the third gift, the gift of myrrh, of course, the very, very rare embalming fluid that was only used for persons of a very high rank, which symbolized the fact that he would die for us and he would rise from the dead for us. And so we have that great feast of the Epiphany, and then we follow it up on the following a week in the calendar with the baptism of the Lord. And so the baptism of the Lord is very special, as it's the beginning of Christ's public ministry, but also because there is the divine ascent. So we hear the voice of God the Father acclaiming the Son, saying, "This is my beloved Son, on whom my favor rests," and then we have the witness of the Holy Spirit appearing in the form of a dove. And then that feast serves to remind us as our baptism. Now, for those who follow the old calendar, the feast of the baptism of the Lord is today. And so today is the official close of the Christmas season. Now, if you don't have your Christmas cards out yet, the Christmas cycle ends on the Feast of the Presentation, February 2nd. I will leave that to the chaplain who will give the spiritual reflection for February. But we have the official end of the Christmas season today, or for those who were at Mass last Sunday, then it ended really last Sunday. And then something not in the Christmas season, but united in the triumvirate of these themes, is the wedding at Cana. Now, we are in cycle B of the lectionary. You know, the lectionary has three cycles, A, B, and C. Well, A and C have the wedding at Cana, and unfortunately, the time that I want to give the talk about the three of them, we don't have the wedding feast at Cana in cycle B. We have the calling of the apostles. But we are spiritually linked to that wedding feast at Cana because Christ takes that beginning of his new ministry, and then he performs his first miracle, that he who would turn wine into blood would first turn water into wine. And so this was the first of his signs from heaven, and he did it to bless a newly married couple. So the foundation of life in the church is the family, and there's the start of the family, and Christ comes and shows his presence from that very beginning. And so just to go back to the great Peter Chrysologus, you know, he unites these themes together, and he brings together the idea of Christ came to us in the mystery of the incarnation at Christmas. He took on himself a human body, and so he who was true God was also true man. And then we start to see his divinity, but first we see his humanity. The Magi find the baby in the manger, and then the very human act of Jesus being washed in the Jordan River by John and uniting us to that baptism. And then ultimately the wedding feast at Cana, and this, as St. Peter Chrysologus says, that Christ works the first of his signs from heaven by turning water into wine, but wine still has to be changed into the sacrament of his blood so that Christ may offer spiritual drink from the chalice of his body to fulfill the prophecy, "How excellent is my chalice." And so we're able in these first weeks of January to spiritually unite ourselves to these great mysteries. And it's a perfect and wonderful way to begin the first month of the year, calling to mind the gift that we have of Christ in our lives manifested to us, the gift that unites us to the community of believers in the sacrament of baptism, and the ongoing gift of his sacramentality and the sacramental life that we have shown by his first miracle at the wedding feast at Cana. And so in the spirit of Peter Chrysologus, doctor of short homilies, I've been asked to speak for 12 minutes, and so I'm going to end there. But I am going to conclude with a prayer. And there's a prayer written by Archbishop John Carroll that some of you may be familiar with. And he wrote it for the first inauguration of a president. And so while this is not a liturgical feast coming up, certainly it is on the secular calendar. And so we honor the spirit of Archbishop Carroll. And Archbishop Carroll's brother, Charles Carroll of Carrollton, was one of the first signators of the Declaration of Independence, and we have some of his descendants in the Order of Malta here in the U.S. But I'd like to close with his prayer for good government. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, who has revealed thy glory to all the nations, to preserve the works of your mercy, that your church, being spread throughout the whole world, may continue with unchanging faith in the confession of your name. We pray thee, who alone are good and holy, to endow with heavenly knowledge, sincere zeal, and sanctity of life, our chief bishop, the Pope, the vicar of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the government of his church, our own bishop, all other bishops, prelates, and pastors of the church, and especially those who are appointed to exercise among us the functions of the holy ministry, and conduct your people into the ways of salvation. We pray, O God of might, wisdom, and justice, through whom authority is rightly administered, laws are enacted, and judgment decreed, assist with your Holy Spirit of counsel and fortitude the President of these United States, that his administration may be conducted in righteousness and be eminently useful to your people over whom he presides, by encouraging due respect for the virtue and religion, by a faithful execution of the laws in justice and mercy, and by restraining vice and immorality. Let the light of your divine wisdom direct the deliberations of Congress and shine forth in all the proceedings and laws framed for our rule of government, so that they may tend to the preservation of peace and the promotion of national happiness, the increase of industry, sobriety, and useful knowledge, and may perpetuate to us the blessing of equal liberty. We pray for the governors of the state, for the members of the assembly, for all judges, magistrates, and officers who are appointed to guard our political welfare, that they may be enabled by your powerful protection to discharge the duties of their respective stations with honesty and ability. We recommend likewise to your abounded mercy all our brethren and fellow citizens throughout the United States, that they may be blessed in the knowledge and sanctified in the observance of your most holy law, that they may be preserved in union, and that in peace, in the peace which the world cannot give, and after enjoying the blessings of this life, be admitted to those who are eternal. Finally, we pray to you, O Lord of mercy, to remember the souls of your servants departed who have gone before us with the sign of faith and repose in the sleep of peace, the souls of our parents, relatives, and friends, of those who, when living, were members of our spiritual family, and particularly of such who are lately deceased, of all benefactors who, by their donations or legacies to the Church, witnessed to their zeal for the decency of divine worship and proved their claim to our grateful and charitable remembrance. To these, O Lord, and to all that rest in Christ, grant, we beseech you, a place of refreshment, light, and everlasting peace, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Father Mullins. And I will conclude this month's reflection with our daily prayer. Lord Jesus, thou hast seen fit to enlist me for thy service in the order of St. John of Jerusalem. I humbly entreat thee through the intercession of the Most Holy Virgin of Palermo, St. John the Baptist, Blessed Gerard, and all the saints, to keep me faithful to the traditions of our order. Be it mine to practice and defend the Catholic, the Apostolic, the Roman faith against sacrilege. Be it mine to practice charity towards my neighbors, especially the poor and the sick. Give me the strength I need to carry out this my resolve, forgetful of myself, learning ever from thy holy gospel a spirit of deep and generous Christian devotion, striving ever to promote God's glory, the world's peace, and all that may benefit the order of St. John of Jerusalem. Amen. I wish everyone a safe, healthy, and Holy New Year, and we will be back again next month with a second reflection for the year, for the month of February. Thank you, everybody.